Parshas Lech Lecha, of course, is significant that formally we're introduced to Avram Avinu, Avram as he's still known, and it's also really our first reference very significantly to Eretz Yisrael. To Eretz Yisrael. Vayomer Hashem al Avram Lech Lecha mi'arshecha mi'vladecha mi'savicha. So where are you going to go? Is on a trip. Al Eretz Asher Arecha. Right, what is known now as Canaan, Esel Gadol, and it's there. That's going to be your homeland for you and your descendants. So the truth is, as we'll see some of the sources in the immediate, right in a moment, the possible halachic sources, this is mine, the possible halachic sources for the mitzvah, if there is one even today, but the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael actually come from Matos Masrei. And there are some Mepharshim, most notably, as we'll see briefly, the Ramban, who speaks about the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, at least Al HaTorah, in a few different places, but most primarily and from the perspective of there being a mitzvah in Bamidbar, in Perek Lamed Gimel, where is it? Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk, it's right in Nanalef, I think it starts. 1 second, there we go, yeah, here we go, Nanalef. If you have an art scroll, you turn over the page, you see a whole map, a beautiful map of Eretz Yisrael. This is in the Shlishi of Masei, the Davish Yerba Moshe, Barbos Moav, etc. Davish Yerba Moshe, Eliham, Ketem, over with the Yarden. Now you're finally going to go over the Yarden, Eretz Canaan, the Horash Temes, Koyosh Eretz, Mipnechem, and you'll drive out the current inhabitants, Yibaratem, and Kom, it's called Salmei Mas. Sechosam, right? Where, this is a relevant pasuk as the Taliban became infamous before America then vanquished them. You know, people were whispering, they didn't want it to be heard too loud, but Taka maybe destroying Avodah Zarah in Afghanistan, which is what the Taliban was first infamous for. I'm not among, I guess, CIA people. I guess maybe they, or maybe CIA didn't really know anything, I guess. But among people in the business, they knew, but I'd never heard of the Taliban until all of a sudden there were all these contemporary news pieces that, oh, it's so terrible, they're destroying these Avodah Zarahs. So, certainly in contemporary world, doesn't sound like such a good thing, but there is at least some biblical precedent for that concept. The magical words, Pasuk Nun Gimel. This is going to be your inheritance, your legacy. But the narrative, and again, some of the Mepharshim, again, I mentioned to you last week, a genre of Sfarim that use the Chumash, most notably, as I say, starting with the Sefer HaChinuch, looking at it from the mitzvah perspective, so nobody speaks about the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael on Barz of Lech Lecha. That was Malcolm Hinichuli to do. To the extent that people speak about it, they speak about it in the context of those Sukkim. But obviously, from the narrative perspective, here we introduce Eretz Yisrael, and especially as I think there was some chips and stuff in the back also for those who don't want to just eat butter. I think there's other nash. I mean, I told the Yosef to make sure we had that. I hope there is. Anyway, that could be passed around for those who are interested. Especially coming on the heels of last week's shiur, we discussed Lashon HaKodesh. So as a kind of a companion shiur, I thought that tonight made sense to do the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. I want to add on a note that is tragic beyond what I can... around what I'm comfortable expressing, frankly, but I want to have this here in the Divrei Torah we studied this evening, Lezecha Nishmas, I don't know his formal Hebrew name, but the name as I knew him is Rabbi Salim Dweck, Zal, who passed away yesterday. He was a young Rav who was a few years older than me, who I knew in the yeshiva. He lived in Riverdale also with me, grew up, was recently in Yosom, and at a later age, just got married, just had 2 kids, his second child, and just made Aliyah. When 3 weeks ago, he was diagnosed with what he had thought had been some kind of, he had a virus, he was losing weight, and no one expected him, it was a bad prognosis, but Nebuch, a 30-something-year-old young Rav, made Aliyah, dedicated his life to teaching Torah, and Rebbe Yeshiva Flatbush for a number of years before moving out to Israel. And now his wife and 2 kids are sitting shiva for him literally today as we speak. So, apropos that we're learning the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, that was always his dream, was to get married, make a family, and bring it to Eretz Yisrael. So this is Divrei Torah, Lezecha Nishmasom. The Ramban in Bamidbar there, on Matos Masrei, unlike Rashi, who views those psukim in the Harashat Haaretz as just a condition so to speak, of Yishuv. It's more anecdotal, so to speak, if you see the way Rashi touches the pasuk. But the Ramban there, very significantly, very famously, says that in fact there's a mitzvah d'oraisa which includes. The Ramban actually adds a number of aspects: conquering the land of Eretz Yisrael, inhabiting the land of Eretz Yisrael, not disrespecting it, not allowing it to lie fallow. The Ramban adds all of these aspects as part of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And furthermore, again, the Ramban is perhaps the Rishon, especially in his commentary on the Torah, famously associated as an Ohev Tzion. So I brought to you there on the source sheet a number of the other areas where the Ramban, in Bereshit and in Vayikra, where the Ramban speaks about the special Hashkacha that goes on in Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramban, very famously and controversially, says basically that the only place that there's really a fulfillment of mitzvos is when you're in Eretz Yisrael. So the first time I heard this, I had the reaction like any mischievous kid might, maybe even a mischievous adult, which is that we're all free in New York, in Baltimore, wherever we may be, if we're not in Eretz Yisrael. But of course the Ramban says that's really absurd. But why is it absurd? Again, it's fascinating. Again, from the Ramban's very extreme perspective, the reason we're all chayiv and mitzvos now is so that when we should go to Eretz Yisrael, we'll know what to do. It's all practice in the Golos. All right, so this is the Ramban. It's a composite. If you put together a number of his comments on Chumash, you see a very significant approach. There's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which includes many different things, and we'll develop those further briefly. It's also important to note the Rashbats, very significantly, Paskins like this Ramban. The Rashbats has two svarim. The most well-known are his tshuvos, known as the Tashbates. But he also wrote a sefer on the mitzvos, where he collected his version of what the mitzvos are, which was called Zohar Arikia. It's not at all mystical. Zohar, I don't think. It's halachic work. It's more exoteric. So in the Zohar Arikia as well, and in the Tashbates, he paskins and he agrees with the Ramban. If you see on the bottom of the sheet, I did as I did for you last week, I included, in this case, I put down four or five of the secondary, more recent contemporary literature, which there's tons. You saw I ran out after Mara because I realized I brought the wrong folder. The folder that I had brought originally was about 20 articles, well over 100 pages that I had Xerox of articles relating to this topic, Mrs. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. I couldn't read them all. I knew we wouldn't have time to go through them all, and I didn't have time. Wasn't going to put them all down on the sheet, but you'll see quite a few of them here, including most significantly, perhaps the very well known and important sefer Hatzkuva Hagadola, which was written by Rav Kasher, Menachem Mendel Kasher Zatzal, which the second part of the shir is largely based on. But in a very, very important article in the Journal of Halakha and Contemporary Society a number of years back, it's probably close to 20 years already now, almost, I think, Rav Herschel Schechter, Shlita, wrote an article on Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and he pointed out that if you put together all the different Rambans, you see, and this will be, it's almost foreshadowing something we'll see later in this year from Rav Schechter himself, that the Ramban holds, really, there's two components to the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Number one is that we should create sovereignty. Jewish sovereignty in the land is significant, per se. There's an added key when there's a Jewish government ruling in Eretz Yisrael, according to the Ramban. And furthermore, there's an additional mitzvah, and unfortunately, historically, this has been most of the years of history. Even when there's a non-Jew ruling Eretz Yisrael, there's still a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. But those are two separate mitzvahs, and it all comes together from a composite in this Ramban. Yes, again, that's perhaps debatable, but at least as he understands the Ramban, that's correct. The Kuzari, we had him last week. Also, perhaps if you had to have a contest, perhaps maybe the second most well-known of the Rishonim, maybe even, I don't think he would beat out the Ramban, but of the Ohev Tzion, Levi ben Mizrach, the Kuzari also, you'll know, as again I alluded to last week, for those who aren't familiar, the Kuzari is a philosophical book, which is, some scholars think that it was based somewhat on real facts and there was a real people, but it's more or less a fictitious account of the Melech Kuzar, who this king who's having this discussion with all the different leaders of religions, and eventually the Chacham, the Jewish representative, convinces him and answers him sufficiently that he eventually, again, as the story goes, and I think there are scholars who claim there's historical evidence that something similar actually really happened, converts his whole nation to Judaism. And throughout the book, the Kuzari, he's asking questions, sometimes provocative questions to the Chacham. The Chacham is answering him. The one time, I think, in the whole Sefer where the Chacham basically says, "You got me," was when this is the Marmakam Hefti, the Kuzari, the Melech says, "If you talk about Israel, 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 so what are you doing over here? Why aren't you living in Israel?" Big talker. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the quote of the Kuzari is, "Matsata makum cherpasi." You're right. You found my source of humiliation. You got me. Now again, sometimes being honest about one's own weaknesses is the most attractive thing to other people. Maybe that Sufa helped me Makar the Mel Kuzarim. But Lamaisa, the Kuzari is famous and that's a very significant if you look at that Makar. And the Kuzari, for some of his formulations, are very beautiful about the uniqueness and the centrality of Eretz Yisrael. We'll get back to this a little bit also, but just to round out some of the more famous Shitos in Rishonim, especially, and our eye will be briefly, intensively, but our eye will be primarily tonight on whether the status of the mitzvah of living in Yisrael, Bizman Hazeh. So there is a very famous Tosfos at the end of Maseches Ksubos, a very famous Gemara at the end of Maseches Ksubos, which we'll discuss, but the very famous Tosfos, which quotes two opinions, they're more or less related. The second one, and this is how it's most well known, quotes one of the Balei Tosfos named Rav Chaim Cohn. But it's interesting. Again, I never analyzed this aspect per se, but again, I only noticed that as I was reviewing the Tosfos today, that actually Rav Chaim Cohn is not quoted at the beginning. In fact, he first gives one answer and then it quotes Rav Chaim Cohn. Although generally when people think of the Tosfos, they think of Rav Chaim Cohn. And he basically says, again, it's a svar, it's on his own, and it's somewhat controversial, but Rav Chaim Cohn says that Bizman Hazeh, there is no longer a chiyuv of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And there are two reasons quoted in Tosfos, whether one or both of them are his opinion. Number one, the first one mentioned, is that it's too dangerous to get there, and or I guess live there. It's too dangerous. Right? And obviously, the parallels to our day could be made. It's too dangerous. And the second thing he says, which I think the parallels could not be made, the second thing he says is that it's too difficult to fulfill the mitzvah hatuyos baris. And this is one of the potential avenues I considered studying with you this evening, which we're not going to do, but a very fundamental question that if we had more time, and that's why there's at least 20 articles that I found on the topic, one of the many different interesting aspects of this discussion could have been, which we're not going to go there, but it's this process is a jumping point, is to what extent is the mitzvah of being an Eretz Yisrael independent per se, a mitzvah to be there? And to what extent is it a mitzvah because it is the one place that allows you to fulfill the mitzvah tatuyos baris. If you work backwards, it's clear that Reb Chaim Cohn feels the latter position. So since he holds that the whole purpose is the mitzvah tatuyos baris, and in his reasonable opinion, in his day and age, it was too hard to fulfill those mitzvahs, then you might as well live in south of France. North of France, I'm not exactly where Reb Chaim Cohn lives. One of the Balei Tosfos. Okay, so that's just an interesting mar makom, and that's something to keep in mind. At the end of here of the section of Mar Makomashid in the Schelk Aleph, I have from the Tshuvas Maharit, who there are others, but the Maharit may be most profoundly and enthusiastically and energetically completely reject this Tosfos. How can you say such a thing? A mitzvah and all of a sudden is not chayiv anymore? In theory, a given person could be an ones. But the idea that it's legislated out, there's no more mitzvah, it's impossible. And the last marmachim around the section to give you a sense of how this comes full circle, that Gemara is perhaps most famously known as a number of halachos that come out of it, but one of the halachos is that when it comes to a marriage, and this could be very relevant to some couples, where one person wants to move to Eretz Yisrael and the other one doesn't. So the halacha is that the one who wants to move is always given halachic prerogative, even when the nafkamina is v'ksuva, in both directions. This is a gender-neutral halacha. It's an Eretz Yisrael halacha, not a gender halacha. So if the woman wants to go and the husband doesn't, he has to divorce her and give her the ksuva. And if it's reversed, he's allowed to divorce her and she forfeits the ksuva. And again, the halacha says it's the same thing. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, one wants to leave Eretz Yisrael. The halacha always sides, even if it means breaking up a marriage, with one who wants to stay in or go to Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, according to Chaim Cohn, all of that was fine in the time of the Beit HaMikdash or something, but that halacha should be no longer relevant today. So if you look at the Pesachei Tshuva, he quotes that the Rov Achronim reject this Tosfos and reject of Chaim Cohn. Okay, if this is relevant to anyone's marriage, we'll again talk about that, I guess, more privately.
Isn't the issue also whether Mitzvah today is a Rabbanon in Eretz Yisrael? If Mitzvah is a Rabbanon, all
the Mitzvahs... Mitzvah is Baruch, you mean?
Then the shot of the Rabbanon will make a lot more sense.
Again, there's still two assumptions. Number one is that the whole purpose of being there so you can fulfill those Mitzvahs, right? Who said that's true? Who said that's true? Number two, it also relates, to how one wants to be done on the significance of Mitzvah Darabanan. But Anachanami, I think if you made all of those assumptions, you're right, then it's a more defensible psak. So again, if we just wanted to focus on this, There's, I think, three stages in that process, and those who are arguing, we'd have to go back and look at all these tshuvas of the Pesach Tshuva quotes. Why are there rejection of Chaim Cohen, and how is one want him, should one defend him? But as I say, that's food for thought, but that's not going to be something that we want to pursue. One more little vorspiel or introduction before we get to the two main areas of study that I want to do, and these are just the two interesting tshuvos that I have there in the Os Beit. One is the Trumas Hadashin. The Trumas Hadashin is often considered maybe one of the transition historical personalities, right? He's sometimes people who quote, you know, some people quote him as a late Rishon, other people quote him as the first Acharon. Is German, and the Trumas Hadashin has a very interesting idea. He mentions it really almost a matter parenthetically, what we call Mashiach Lefitumo. He mentions basically that everyone has to do a cheshbon where they will have the greatest Yirat Shamayim. Where do you live? Where you will be the most religious, the most devout. Now, for some people, that means, Mea Shearim, and other people it might mean anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. And for some people, it'll be Baltimore. Says the Trumas Hadashin, you make a cheshbon, and that is where you have to stay. And it's interesting that taking this, again, more broadly, again, we're not going to fill in all the dots, but not so many steps away, Rav Schechter, in that aforementioned English article, develops an idea based on this, that there is a mahalach, that not only is it a question of being most religious, but basically the idea is that you're supposed to have a normal and productive and fulfilling life. And that there are times, that is, for most people, most of the time, the halacha assumes that will be in Eretz Yisrael. But that there can be legitimate exceptions to that. And even though he didn't mention it as an, at least not in the article, as autobiographical, I think, at least in the yeshiva, when this story was known, I think the assumption was this was talking about him. But in the article, he doesn't say he's talking about himself. But he writes in the article, and this, again, this is a shmua in the yeshiva, that he once spoke with Rav Avram Shapiro, who's in the news now for other things. But Rav Avram Shapiro, who's a great, great, happens to be that I'm not so comfortable with some of the things he's saying recently. But he is a huge Talmud Chacham. I mean, not as well known in America, because I'm thinking maybe once in his whole life he's ever been to America. But really one of the, I consider one of the Gedolei Hador. He was for many, many years and still is currently the Rashi of America, the Rav. And for 10 years, overlapping when I happened to be learning there, so he was the Rav HaRashi. He's a Chevroner by training. He learned in Chevron for many, many years. Huge, huge Talmud Chacham. So he told Rav Schechter, whether it's about Rav Schechter or not, that's for skeptics or for those who want to surmise, that for Gedolei Torah, those who are being marvis Torah and really impacting the whole seaboard in America, at the very worst, it might be their putter, and it may be that they have a chiyuv to stay in America or somewhere in the Golos. There's a famous story they tell over from the Lubavitcher Rebbe as well, when he was asked why he didn't go or why Gedolim were moving, and he said, you know, very often the leader has to go first, but when the ship is sinking, the general or the admiral has to stay on it until it's over. And how could the Gedolim abandon the people who are living in America? So where does that come from? Either the mitzvah. So perhaps it relates to this yisod that comes out of this Trumas Hadashin. Perhaps not, but that's one thing. Apropos to this idea about how come historically, even when there was relative comfort, so that you and I don't go, okay, we're normal people, we're weak, we need Saharas, we're more comfortable in America, whatever. But the great Gedolim, Tzadikim, right, they do all the mitzvahs, how could they miss this mitzvah? Because this is a question that very often people ask. Sometimes they ask it bitzmimus, sometimes they ask it cynically, but people often are asking this question, and it didn't just start in our generation. So I just alluded to this thing from the Rebbe and others, but perhaps the most famous written example where this was discussed is in a tshuva of the Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer asks himself, or someone asks him, I don't remember, it's a very lengthy tshuva, Simon Tov Nun Dalet, 554 on Yerodea, where he asks specifically about the Admorim, right? The Avnei Nezer, the Lipsha, we love him, but he was, we have to admit, Chassidish Rebbe, the Sakash Rebbe. So the Avnei Nezer asks, how come all the Admorim, including himself, weren't making Aliyah? We're not moving Eretz Yisrael. And he develops the following very fascinating idea, which is, at the time, the Munkach Rebbe, the Minchas Aluzer, who we'll get back to as well later today, rejected this. He couldn't believe that Pekutter said such a thing, and it really is very innovative. What he says is the following fascinating idea. And if he's right, it would be relevant to many people today who are not Rebbes. That the whole nature of the myth of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is that one should get their sustenance from Eretz Yisrael. The whole idea of the special hashkacha that Hashem has over Eretz Yisrael and the rain and the crops, etc., and that you have a direct, immediate, no-holds-barred relationship with the Rabbanu Shalom by earning a living, by whether it's working the land or not, in Eretz Yisrael. If you're living in Eretz Yisrael, but, to take a, let's say a contemporary example, a doctor who comes back twice a month and makes his parnasa here, but then he makes a good enough parnasa that he can sit and learn in Eretz Yisrael twice, 2 weeks a month, and we think that's perfect. Says Avnei Nezer, he's not fulfilling with the future of Eretz Yisrael. Right? So all the Kolo guys, so they may be learning great Torah, but being supported by the parents back in Baltimore, no Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, according to the Avnei Nezer. And he says, the Admorim, so if all the Hasidim would have gone, okay, so then however the Hasidim make a living there, they'll support him. But if many of the Hasidim are still in Europe, and more likely the ones with more money were still in Europe, and that's who's supporting the Admorim, so he said, not going to fulfill the Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael anyway. Fascinating, original, innovative, maybe right, maybe not. It's a maramakum. Please enjoy. The Avnei Nezer is always enjoyable to read. Okay. So now we come to the two issues I want to discuss today. Most famously, really, which is the Shitas HaRambam, whose name has been conspicuously absent until now. And if you look at the Hay, hopefully we'll get to, I plan on doing a better job than I did last week. Hope to really end by 11 p.m. on the dot. If we have time, Os Hay, if not, you'll, at least you'll know what the Marmakomas are. Os Hay relates to the Satmar Rebbe and all the issues therein. Hopefully we'll have a chance to elaborate on that a little bit. But the famous, infamous, if you will, Shita of the Satmar Rebbe and others, and those perhaps who disagreed with him about perhaps maybe it's prohibited for mass aliyah for people in the state of Israel, etc. But let's move back a few hundred years, back to the Middle Ages, and we have the Ramban and the Rambam. Until now I mentioned all of the comments that the Ramban, Nachmanides, Ramban made on Chumash. But another one of the important makaros that we have from Ramban is that he wrote a running commentary on the Rambam's Sefer Mitzvot. The Rambam was not the first, but he was one of the most famous of the Rishonim to catalog, in his opinion, what the 613 Mitzvot Daraisa are. And because he's the Rambam, he engendered many defenders, but much criticism and controversy. The Ramban, you know, in the Melchamta Shel Torah, has a running commentary where he, not necessarily on every line or every mitzvah, but very often, if the Ramban speaks, it's not to say Yishakach Rambam, it's because he's disagreeing with the Rambam. It's the Hastagot HaRamban. And there's a whole literature of people, and we're going to see briefly in a moment, one of them, who defend the Rambam. But just to add insult to injury, again, I get a kick out of this every time I learn these Makaros. Not only is there, so the Rambam has a 348, this is 265, he breaks down the Mrs. Asay and the Mrs. Lotasay. Not only is the Ramban running, rejecting and disagreeing many of those comments, but at the end of each section, at the end of Mrs. Asay, and then again, at the end of Mrs. Lotasay, the Ramban has a section in which he calls Mitzvos Sheshachach Osa Harav, or Limnos HaRambam. Not only is he wrong with all the things I told you until now, but here are the next 10, 12, 15, 18 mitzvahs, which he didn't even count. He blew it. And again, there also you have people who defend the Rambam and explain why he didn't, etc. There's a number of mitzvahs. On that list, at the end of mitzvahs I say, you look at the list of mitzvahs that the Ramban says the Rambam never quoted, but according to Ramban, they really are part of the 613, says the Ramban mitzvah Daud in that list is, once again, the same things, which is no surprise now, we know what he said on Chumash, is to live in Eretz Yisrael. Very, very important. This was the Ramban. You have to live in Eretz Yisrael. Again, he says some of the same things he says on the Torah. He adds this idea that you can't leave the land barren. You can't leave other nations. You got to be there, says the Ramban. Now, the implication whenever the Ramban tells us that he thinks this should be a mitzvah is that he certainly understands that the Rambam disagrees. Again, he thinks the Rambam's wrong. But the implication is, if the Ramban feels the need to include it, and the Rambam never included it, so the simple approach to understanding would be that the Rambam must hold that it's not a mitzvah. How could it not be a mitzvah? What about all these tzukim and chumash? There's a sifrei that the Ramban quotes, an important medrash. I mean, there's something with koros. Is it really true? Does the Rambam hold it's not a mitzvah? So that there was a mechameh and a mitzvah to conquer Canaan and Eretz Yisrael, that everyone has to agree with. So why would the Rambam not count it? Why would the Rambam not count the mitzvah? So for this, we have basically four answers, which will be seven. You'll see what I mean. Actually, four, which I guess will be six, if I want to be more precise. Four basic answers. The fourth has three permutations. So four basic answers. What is the Shitas HaRambam? Is there a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Bezman HaZeh, or not? So the first approach, one which if we have time, you'll understand why. We'll get back to when we see the position most famous associated with the Sefer Rebbe. But the first approach, the one right on the page, if you open up the Sefer Mitzvot, you see the Rambam says, Mitzvah Dalit is, you got to live in Eretz Yisrael. So there's a commentary, basically De Leon wrote a commentary called the Megillah Esther. Not the Megillah, but a commentary to defend the Rambam as the Megillah Esther. There's only one place that I know of, and again, I didn't go through every one of the Megillah Esthers, but I've seen certainly quite a few over the years. Only one place do I know where he thinks the Ramban is right. He's almost always reflexively defending the Rambam. And here is no exception. He says the Rambam didn't quote it. And first most important point we need to understand is that he holds, but Ein Hachanami, you're right. He didn't count it, because in his opinion, the Rambam holds there is no mitzvah of Bizman Azeh. Why not? So he says, because there was a mitzvah, but the mitzvah was only in the days of Moshe and Yoshua, the original conquest. And there still continued to be a mitzvah as we were living and bearing the fruits, literally and figuratively, of that original conquest. But once we were exiled, the mitzvah is canceled and does not come back as a mitzvah until Mashiach comes and we return to build a third Beit HaMikdash. And then he adds, and this is again where the last Osei comes in, the Gemara and Ksubis, says furthermore, it's not just that there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael nowadays. There's a famous Gemara that Ksubis says, Shoylo Ya'alu B'choma. It's usher. We're not supposed to all go to Eretz Yisrael. So of course the Rambam didn't quote it. The real question is, what was the Ramban thinking? That is the first, most radical approach, radical conceptually. In terms of pshat, maybe it's the simplest. Most radical approach to the Rambam, he pleads guilty proudly. Yes, he holds that there's no mitzvah, and he's right about it. That's what the Rambam holds as understood by the Baal Megillas Esther. That's the first, most radical opinion. Second, somewhat radical opinion, also somewhat of a Das Yachid as well. Second one comes from the Knesset HaGadola, which is quoted in the important and always difficult to use encyclopedia, the Stechemet. Stechemet, which is relatively recent, we know, I've mentioned it actually in the shul a number of times, Rav Chaim Chizkiya de Medini, was Sfardisher who ended up moving to Eretz Yisrael and finishing writing the Stechemet, who knows where? In Hebron. And if you go to Hebron now, you take the contemporary tour in Hebron, one of the things that they display is the Stechemet and pictures of him, etc. And the Stechemet, he was himself encyclopedic and Tamar Chacham, but significantly, and again, imagine in his generation with the technology, etc., than it was, and Mel, he corresponded with all of the Tamar Chacham, some very famous and some that you and I have never heard of. And he collected all the letters and everything, and he has this encyclopedia. The problem is that he didn't have an editor. At least, I don't think, because it's, unless you have a specific marmokum, it's almost impossible to use. It's constantly going back and forth, unraveling. Anyway, the Steich Hamed quotes this opinion that holds, that who says that the Rambam holds that the Zman Azeh only mid Rabbanim. So it's one step less radical than the Megillas Esther. The Megillas Esther says that there's nothing nowadays. So the Steich Hamed says, no, there's something, but it's only a mitzvah mid Rabbanim. Okay, so it's a mitzvah mid Rabbanim. That also explains why the Rambam didn't quote it as part of the 613 of Mitzvah Smita Raisa. Okay, two radical opinions, both, I think, not so well accepted, but important to know of. Let's assume that it may. Let's assume that it does. But there's almost no Rishonim who holds that it's Kitcha L'Shaita.
You could say that it's independent, though.
You could anyway. Yeah, right. That would be all right. Well, what you're asking is, I'll ask you a better question. Because everyone agrees, at least that's how we paskin, for sure, that after the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, the Kedusha was batel. So was there a mitzvah? Forget what we're asking nowadays. Was there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael in between the two korbanos? And it's a parallel question. This is a vast, well, always a fascinating question. Did they celebrate Tisha B'Av in between? Did they celebrate Tisha B'Av after the second Beit HaMikdash was built? Okay, fascinating question. Anyway, so that historical period is very interesting. The status of the land during that period was interesting. And Good question. Maybe again, I don't remember him saying it specifically, but maybe you have to say for him that he means the two korbanos. But I'm not sure. Good question. The real reason that these two opinions are so minor and really probably hard to maintain is that, and again, I'm not going to go through all the specific examples, but if you see here, I'm towards the end of Osh Gimel on the source sheet. I have three different, and I could have provided two or three others, three different sources of the Rambam himself, not in Sefer Mitzvot, but in Mishnah Torah, in Isha, Savadim, and Shabbat, and there are other examples, where the Rambam paskins halachas that are relevant even to this very day, which are predicated, obviously, on the assumption that there is a mitzvah. So again, you can look those up. I'll just give you the one example that I've already alluded to before. The Rambam paskins, and it applies even to this very day, this halacha of living in Eretz Yisrael and how that affects a marriage. The Rambam quotes that in Hilchos Ishus. So Avnei Nezer and others say, according to the Megillah of Esther, that there is no mitzvah b'zman hazeh, according to the Rambam. So how is that halacha relevant? Again, unless you want to disentangle that from the mitzvah, but that would be, I think, way too convoluted. The whole reason that you're allowed to even break up a marriage over this is because there's this very overriding mitzvah. So obviously the Rambam who passes that way sees that as a mitzvah, presumably. Furthermore, a number of Achronim ask, including the Avnei Nezer, even if you'll say that the Rambam didn't quote it because it was only a mitzvah in certain historical periods, but then after the Churban or whatever, it totally went away or only became the Rabbanon, but they point out that Karbanos, that Trumos and Maestros, all of those things which may be either completely gone or at most are no longer Midaraisa, the Rambam quotes those also. So why all of a sudden this one didn't he quote? So the truth is that the Minchas Elazar, or I guess as I should be called, Minchas Elazar, say he, the Minchacher, the Minchacher Rebbe, so he defends the Megillat Esther against this point, and he has a whole Mareches, why basically, since when we return to Eretz Yisrael, the Mashiach will be miraculous. I'm not going to be doing hand-to-hand combat. We'll miraculously retake the land. And that's fundamentally different than the way we got it the first time. So when a mitzvah is fundamentally different than it was originally, then the Rambam doesn't count it or something. Okay, it's an interesting theory. But the overwhelming weight of the evidence seems to be that the Rambam really does hold it to mitzvah. After all these talk him in Mishnah Torah. Everyone with me? Good. So then, if you're with me, we have our problem. The allure, the milah, of the first two opinions is that they're radical, they may even be wrong, but they do have one thing going for them. They're neat, they're cut and dry, and they solve the problem. Then we know why the Rambam didn't count it in the Sefer Mitzvot, because he holds it's not a mitzvah. But if we're going to reject those, based on what the Rambam himself seems to pass in the Mishnah Torah, so we're left with a major question. So why didn't the Rambam count the mitzvah? Any suggestions? Okay, that's one. Ethan, is this within another mitzvah? Huh? Which was? So that's what I was taking from the Reb Chaim Cohn. If you take that approach in Tosfos, in Ksubos, the whole purpose of each of our Tishrelos for those mitzvos, okay, that would be radical if it's true, but if it's true, that would be radical. But if it's true, that would answer the question. Any other suggestions? So it's so important. Right? The Rambam, right? Right? The Rambam doesn't quote, who is it? The Rambam? Right, exactly. It doesn't go to Anochi Hashem because it's so obvious and there can't be 650 mitzvahs unless it's first a belief in God. Okay, any other answers? I gave you a hint, if you remember. I alluded to it last week when I explained one approach to the mitzvah of Lashon HaKodesh. Is it a sin to speak English? Poor English. English. Ah, Kiyuma. So who said that last week? Who remembers? Moshe Feinstein. Okay, so, wow, you're not just here for the chunk. Okay, excellent. So these two basic approaches that were mentioned, one first by Ethan and the other, this Kiyumis idea, these are the two most popular approaches to the Rambam. The second one, which we'll get to, which is Ethan's suggestion that's included in another mitzvah, there's three different theories of which mitzvah. So let's hold off on that for a moment. The first approach, and this is now in Osh Dalet, the first line, you'll see three sources. A Tshuva of Moshe Feinstein, the introduction, page 9, in the introduction of the Sefer Pnei HaRav, which is the second volume of Rav Hershel Sheffer's intellectual biography of Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. And then, finally, in the Kuntris, these journals called Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh is a kinnis, a big Torah conference that happens every year in Eretz Yisrael, going back in almost 40 years. They invite the major Talmidei Chachamim in the country. And then at the end of, sometimes afterwards, they write up the shiurim that were given. So a number of years back, quite a few years back, Usually it's almost always Israeli Rabbanim, but in this case, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, that's how it was invited. He also has a piece on Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. He says the same thing as his brother, and they both say the same thing as their cousin, Moshe. And that is, they're all Shloshe Neviim, all Mabin for the same thing, but the Signon Acher, they all say it slightly differently. They all say the same thing, namely that, at least as Man Hazeh, the mitzvah, the Araisa, to live in Eretz Yisrael, but it's only a mitzvah kiyumus. There is no chiyuv to live in Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Moshe says, and again, the parallels are like right there when you're thinking of them, look at the Lashon, Rav Moshe has the exact same rhetorical argument that he had about Lashon HaKodesh, which is it can't be a chiyuv, because after all, look at all of the people, Gedolim, who aren't doing it. So you're not going to assume that anyone who speaks Hungarian, or maybe Hungarian, or Polish, but Yiddish, and English, and Turkish, and... Right? You can't assume they're doing Averis, says Rav Moshe. So it's a mitzvah to speak Lashon HaKodesh, but it's not a chiyuv. So it too says Rav Moshe, if it was a chiyuv, that would be like wearing Dal Kampus without tzitzis on them. That'd be an Averi. You can't do that. So you think all these Jews throughout history who even had a chance to move and didn't? Eifshar to say such a thing. It's a chiyumis. Shechler quotes the Rav is saying something like this. And Rav Aaron says this also. Rav Aaron is the one who explicitly connects this to the Sefer HaMitzvos. Rav Soloveitchik says, that's why, look at the Rambam, he only quotes Mitzvos Chiyuvios. Right? Tzitzis, he counts. But tzitzis, if you're wearing God's conscious, you have to put tzitzis on them. If you want to eat meat, you have to shecht. But this is something where there's no if and then. There's not Azeh, it's not Lazoros anymore, because there's no time you ever have to live in Israel. Therefore, says Rav Aaron and Rav and Rav Moshe, it's only Mitzvah Chiyuvios. That's one answer. And again, if it's true, that certainly helps solve the problem. The whole other group of suggestions are made, this is what I have here in the second line of Oz Talid, are what Ethan broadly suggested. And this is something which we often have when we have difficulties with the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, and that is that the Rambam didn't count it. But as we said last week, there are a lot more than 650 mitzvos, daraisa, right? We all know that. Halvai. Russell Zakos is always going to say that. Okay. So Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of mitzvos. They're not all counted. And the Rambam has a whole, what he calls a sharashim, rules for how he chooses what to count and what not to count. There's a whole school of thought that says the Rambam really holds this bizman as that a mitzvah and a chiyuvis. You got to live in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe you have an excuse, but really, really, you have to live it, all of us. So why did the Rambam then count it as an independent mitzvah? Because the Rambam was including it in another mitzvah. Why should he include it in another mitzvah, and which mitzvah is it included in? Anyone want to take a guess? On the ball? Guess it was in Eretz Yisrael Mesukis. Have you heard the Aramachim? The Avnei Nezer and Ethan suggest that the mitzvah of destroying and eradicating the Shiva Avim, that included in that is the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because it's all one process. Why do you have to kick out those people? So you can live there. And as the Avnei Nezer and others point out, the Rambam has a klal which he says in the Sharashim, that if there's ever more than one mitzvah, which is really part of one long process, he always counts one. Which one? The first one mentioned in the Torah. He doesn't mention the second one. So for example, the Rambam, you have to build a Mishkan, and you have to build an Aron. The Rambam never counts building an Aron. Does he believe that there's a mitzvah to build an Aron? Of course there's a mitzvah to build an Aron. But the Rambam tells you no, because I'm counting building the Mishkan, and this is all part of the same overall process. The Shitaso, the Ramban counts two. The Ramban holds the two separate mitzvahs. The Shasta Avnei Nezer, the Rambam is the Shitaso. Destroying the, kicking out the people and living there, it's all one process. The Rambam counted the first one, and not the second one. Very, very sharp. No, so there's nothing changed today. It's the same as it was 1,000 years ago. There is a mitzvah. We wanted to know why the Rambam didn't count it. And Mil Gyas Esther said, because there's no more mitzvah today. But Avnei Nezer says he's completely off his rocker, completely wrong. There is a mitzvah today, it's the same as it always was. He just didn't count it for a technical reason. Rav Schechter, in the second one of his, the Lamed Shesfarim, called the Ikvei Hatzon, has a very significant essay. This is a Siman Lamed Beis in the Sefer, all about many issues with contemporary Eretz Yisrael. And there he has the following theory, based, inspired on the Ramban, but he holds that the Rambam agrees with this in fundamentally, that the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael is not just to live there, but there's an added kiyum of having a Jewish government, which parenthetically, even though he doesn't quote Rav Kook also said this, that there's no mitzvah per se in having a melech. It's not melech per se, it's having a Jewish government. Rav Kook said the Knesset had a din as a melech. And Rav Schechter doesn't say exactly that, but it seems from everything he says that he agrees with that. Because the mitzvah is having a government, period. That is part of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And he says, so how you can have a government? You have to have Yishuv, you have, you know, Ein Melech L'Olam. The mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, from the Shechter, part of the Rambam, is perhaps included in the mitzvah of Minui Melech. Why is that one quoted, not the other one? Because you don't know what comes first according to David Price. Right? So we have Minui Melech. We have, that's one theory. And finally, since we're going to run through this, the Sefer Eretz Chem, they're written by the recently departed of Shaul Yisraeli, that's so. Also one of the great Rabban HaRashis, and the Rashi of America Tarab, great Talmud Chacham. Eretz Chem, this is something really novel. The Rambam holds the mitzvah of Daraisa. It's included in the mitzvah of benching. Right? A major theme in benching is Hadas Aretz, thanking Hashem and being appreciative of the land. So he says here, Mechlal Hain Shomei Alav, or Lav Shomei Hain in his direction. So you can't be kafoy tov. And what would be the most obvious way of being kafoy tov? Disregarding it. So because we have to show Hashem, we have to be thankful, we got to be there, or else we're not showing our thanks. And that is included, he suggests, again, very innovative. It seems to me that the sharpest possibility is Avni Nezer's, but the other two are very fascinating in their own right. Okay? So basically, we've seen four different approaches why the Rambam didn't quote the mitzvah. Maybe he agrees with the, maybe he disagrees with the Ramban. It's no mitzvah. The Zman Hazeh, it's only the Rabbanon. Or three other approaches that hold. He holds the Star Reis, or even the Zman Hazeh. Maybe it's only a Kiyum. Or maybe he really holds it as a Kiyum, but it's included in other mitzvahs. Now I have a minute and a half left. Just to briefly summarize to you what I have in Oshei. Oshei quotes from the Gemara in Ksubas, which tells us that there were three Shavuos that Hashem made, not just with the Jewish people, two of the Jewish people, one with the Goyim. One, and that we would rebel against the Goyim, even in Golis. Number two is that Shelo Yalu B'choma, we wouldn't strongly take back Eretz Yisrael. Number three was that the Goyim should not be mishtabed us, Yoser Midai. Right, in the last UN, what is Yoser Midai? Not too much. Okay, but that's what the Gemara says, but it's looking in Shir Hashirim. So, the Megillas Esther already quoted that Gemara. He said that's why the Rambam didn't quote the mitzvah, because there's no mitzvah of the Zman Hazeh. After all, we're not supposed to. Shelo Yalu B'choma. Who made this most famous? Not the Megillas Esther, but the Satmar Rebbe. In his book, Yoel Moshe, he has three essays of Yoel Moshe, if anyone's seen it, and I'm the farthest thing you can imagine from a Satmar Chosid, but I hope you should read the paper. You should know what you disagree with. So Yoel Moshe is divided up into three essays. One of them, I think it's the middle one, is called Ma'amar Shalosh Shavuos. It's about this Gemara. And then the Satmar Rebbe goes to town on this Gemara, and then he goes to Esther, and he holds his usher, Zionism, and forget it, and if you've ever read anything from the Satmar Rebbe, you know that the Mizrachis are so far off his radar, that's not who he's criticizing. The Satmar Rebbe, who rails women's education and Eretz Yisrael and everything, he's railing against the Agudah. Because they're not pure enough for him. How can Agudah go? How can they even participate in the government? How can they do anything? It's all terrible. It's a violation of the Shalosh Shavuos. Minichas Halozes I have there from the Munkacher agrees with him. It's all there. So how do you get out of this Gemara? Why does the rest of the world seem to not be Satmar Chassidim? That's the Mar Makamos that are underneath that. Basically, very quickly, there are three common answers that are given how to get out of this Gemara. It seems to be such an ironclad. The Satmar Rebbe thought anyone who disagrees with him must be crazy. I mean, how could it be? It's a black and white Gemara. Three answers. Number one, the Pnei Yoshua holds that the whole Gemara is an Agadata. Many people say this. I just gave you some Makamos. It's an Agadata. If you look in the Rif, the Rambam, the Rush, the Tur, you will never see this Gemara quoted. Probably because it's not meant to be halacha l'maisa. It's an agadata. The Maral and Netzach Yisrael, in honor of Rabbi Hartman, we're still in the Maral mode here. So he has this whole idea that the Shavua doesn't mean that you're not allowed to do it. It just means it's imprinted in nature, that it's unlikely to be successful, whatever. Okay? One answer. Number two, the second line you have, Rav Meir Simcha Midvinz, the Baal Or Sameach, HaMesha Chochma, in a famous letter, as well as the Avnei Nezer himself in a tshuva, that says that the whole thing doesn't get off the ground. The Goyim want to keep us out of Israel. Balfour Declaration, Sam Remo, the UN, etc. If they want to give us the land, we don't just ask the Arabs, we ask the world community. Okay, so if they want to give us the land, we're not violating the Shavua. The Shavua is to take it back by force. We didn't take it back by force, they gave it to us. And finally, number three, is our Shlomo Kluger, famous Acharon, who has in his Haggadah, Maitre Yidei Yoser, he just does something there in the context of the Mitzrayim, and he says that two people are obligated in the Shavua, this is quoted in Halacha, and one person violates their half, so then the deal's off. So there are three Shavuos. One of them is that the Goyim shouldn't be Mishnabid us. Yeah. Yoser Midai. So I don't know what the UN would say, but Senator Shlomo Kluger, there's no question that they violated their end of the deal. Yeah. And if they violated their end of the deal, then we can take it back. B'choma, the whole Shavua is off. Okay, Yashar Koyach. I'm happy to stay for anyone who has questions as long as you want. Emeritus Hashem, next week, Park Vera, I believe, most likely we'll be studying with the recent Makim and Lissus. Leave you on my committee.